ago. I was lost, completely lost. I felt like I knew I had a purpose. I knew I was meant to make a significant contribution to the world, but I was clueless as to what that was, or how to even start, or, you know, how it was going to happen. You know, I felt a little even crazy to be thinking of that. At the time, I was doing a show in Wisconsin. It was in the winter, so it was freezing cold. A bunch of us had taken a trip into Madison, Wisconsin. We stopped off in a small bookstore to warm up. I was drinking my coffee. I mean, I was barely even paying attention to the books in front of me. I was just sort of strolling through. And suddenly I was staring at a book called Message of a Master. Now, like I said, I want to be clear. I had never heard of any of this stuff before. I certainly had never heard about this book before. In fact, most people have never heard of it. And I had no clue what it was about. But for some reason, I literally, it was the first time in my life this ever happened that I was conscious of. Reached up, grabbed the book, went and bought it. Didn't even think, it was like, and it sounded crazy, but for in this one moment, it felt like, literally it felt like the air around me changed. I just got goosebumps saying that. Because it was like suddenly there was, boom, I have to have that. So, as I started studying this book, I mean, it was the coolest thing, and I think it was probably what a lot of people experience when they first start to become aware of, wow, okay, I might be connected to everything. And there was this excitement that began to stir in me. And that was the beginning of my journey with all of this, with universal law, with law of attraction. And I haven't turned back since. And the joy for me has been to be able to work with countless people around the world to help them harness the law and transform their lives.
Well, you know, I love what you're talking about with the law and the law of attraction. And I think the first thing that people think is, well, I've tried the law of attraction. I've done this. I've done that. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? Is it because they're actually not applying it right, or maybe they're missing some of the laws, or they're just...
Yeah, great question. Anytime someone says to me, and sometimes this really... Boy, this will hit a nerve with people. Anytime someone says to me, oh, the law of attraction doesn't work for me, I say, oh, yeah, it's working. It's working. Mm-hmm. It's working every moment of every day of your life. It's just
the fact that
now,
it's not working means that it is working. It's just,
you're attracting. You're just not attracting.
You're attracting
what you
it
want.
Not working. Yeah.
Now, the cool thing about that is that means if you're standing in your life right now and you're saying, fine, I will claim that I am attracting what I don't want. Well, the good news is you're already really good at this.
Yeah.
And we just have to flip it around. You are literally, every single person on this call is a master manifester.
We have to change the signal. I mean, everybody's putting off a signal. So if you're not getting the things you want, the signal you're getting is the things that you don't want. Now, if we turn that signal around, we can then, you know, begin that journey. So what are some of the things in your life that when you turn that signal around that you attribute to your working with this universal law?
There was a point in my life where I was literally in an apartment with four roommates, and all I could afford was to eat stale bread and mayonnaise.
Wow.
And I was drinking out of the faucet because I couldn't afford a glass.
Wow.
Okay,
you know,
so things have been bad.
Well, it just, you know, things come to me during these calls. I'd love to share. You know, I think wherever people are at now, you've probably been there, right? You've probably been at the worst that a lot of people in this call could say, well, you know, here's where I'm at. And I just want you guys to know, you know, here Kristen is saying, here she is right now teaching people all over the world and living what she loves. So if it's possible for Kristen, if it's possible for Darius, it is possible for you.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. You know, and when people, and we'll talk about this in a second, but when people look at someone and go, oh, but, you know, they have this, 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 and this going for them, so of course it's possible for them. Well, then, I always say, well, let's look at this person over here who seem like the deck is completely stacked against them at the onset, and yet they've made everything happen for them. So, you know, there are people that are living proof, and I think that's something that, you know, I'm excited about. The reason I'm here is because no matter who you are, what your situation looks like, the power of this, it's all available to us all equally. And I know there's a lot of struggle with it. I struggled with it too. But if people can let me and you and whomever, you know, any example you can think of someone that is making this work who came from a place of not making it work, so it's solid proof because our brains like proof, let us be the voices in your head saying, stick with this.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So I'd like to know kind of there's 16 laws. What are we going to get into today? What are some of the things that we're going to cover for people?
Most people who study the law of attraction, they can't seem to get it working for them. And when you start working with the sub-laws, that's when everything changes.
Mm.
Okay, so, and you know, the minority of people are the people that are working with this stuff and it's working for them. The majority are the people that are trying to work with it and they can't seem to make it work. I want to help everybody shift from the majority to the minority. Okay?
Okay.
And that's what I'm excited about. That's why I'm excited for everybody that's on here, because I'm guessing, because I've been there, that you probably are at a point where you're like, oh, come on, you know, what's the thing that's going to make it just click and work? And so, you know, that's, I love that you're sticking with it, that you have some inner knowing that this can work for you. So let me explain, you know, before we get into this, let me first actually break down what a law is. And a law is something that should work all of the time, because I like to take things sort of off of the woo-woo plane and bring it to reality. So let's look at the law of gravity. No one questions the law of gravity because it's a law.
Yeah.
But, and now I guarantee you, when Newton first started talking about the law of gravity, probably people were looking at him like he was a little crazy. But let's look at the law of gravity. If you drop a ball outside of a four-story window 100 times, how many times is it going to fall, Darius?
Every time you drop it, it's going to fall.
Every single time. Why? Because for a law to be a law, it means that when you act in accordance with it, and that's the key.
Okay.
Let me say that again. When you act in accordance with the law, you get predictable results every single time. You know, so to put it simply, the predictability is what makes it a law. Which brings us back to the pressing question. So why is the law of attraction only working for some people or only some of the time? Or, you know, and why is it that some people seem to be able to effortlessly do this stuff? Today, I want you to not only understand why these things happen, but how you can leverage your newfound knowledge to really shift everything for you when it comes to the law of attraction. And I need to stress something here, and I know you'll agree with me on this. Information is important, but just as important is the ability to understand and then apply it. So I don't want to just throw a whole bunch of stuff at you and then have you be like, that was so cool in concept, and then tomorrow morning you wake up and you go, wait, what was that? Think about it. Like, let's pretend that I came to you, you'd never heard of electricity, and I told you all about electricity and how it's available to everybody, and it's the coolest thing. And I told you about the science of it, and you got all the information about it. But I forget to tell you how to literally plug in. You would be standing there going, that was an amazing conversation. How come I can't get my lights to turn on?
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want everybody here silently promise yourself that anything I give you, all that matters is that you start applying one thing a day. Just start applying. Because a lot of people get stuck in the information gathering.
Mm.
All right? So that's one of the first things I really want you to all just right now promise yourself, promise me, promise Darius, promise whoever you want to promise, that you will actually take something, a nugget from what we talk about today, and you will start applying it.
You know, what I love about this is I do feel excited because, you know, you're coming from a place, you know, we have a lot of different people on these calls, and, you know, some people, it seems like they've always gotten this stuff or they've always been special or unique, and not saying that you're not special at all, but you came from a place like a lot of us, and I can tell you, me as well, that, you know, you struggle with all of this. And I'm looking at, like, your client that, you know, they went from up to $120,000 a month of earnings, that seems to be an incredible number. And I'm wondering, like, what is the thing? What is that switch? What is that plug-in moment that turns it all around. And I think a lot of people are wondering as well, like, what is it that made you become the things and the person and get the opportunities you wanted to be? What was the plug that you plugged into?
Yeah, you know, the first thing, and I actually just want to address something that you just said, is that I think the first thing is actually realizing we are, you know, how we look at people and go, oh, my God, well, this person just seems to be special and has always been able to tap into it. I think the first step, to be honest, is embracing the fact that you actually are that special. That's the first thing.
I like that.
Because we are all so busy downplaying it, you know, and we get, again, this is another hot button topic here. We get something from our struggle. There's a payoff. Yeah. Any struggle you're having, there is a payoff. You're getting something from it. You might not like what you're getting sort of in the external world, but a lot of people, I had this realization a couple months ago. I was like, oh, my mind, I was obsessing about something, and I thought, oh, well, but my life is great. You know, I've got this, and I've got, and I thought, well, I associate all of those things with I've at least got to have my brain obsessing about something, that struggle. If I keep that struggle going, then all of this stuff can keep happening for me. So I'm getting a payoff, you know, where people who just always seem to fall short. Well, if you're able to turn around and go, God, I always fall short and I deserve it more than that person, guess what? The payoff to yourself, your inner self, your subconscious mind is we're more valuable than that person. So this is tough stuff. These are, you know, our belief sets are the things that you have to be willing to really look at them and be honest with yourself. Don't blame yourself and beat yourself up, but just be honest. Because once you do, you can free yourself. And the thing with law of attraction and all this stuff is to realize it's a universal law, which means like gravity, gravity has a whole bunch of sub-laws, and this is where we get into this, Darius.
Okay.
That determine how gravity acts, so to speak. So let me give you an example. I'm going to get really sort of science-y on you here for a second, but stick with me because it'll be worth it. Earlier, we were talking about the law of gravity. I said, you know, you drop a ball 100 times, it's going to fall every single time. What this tells us is that objects, if you're looking at gravity, cannot remain suspended in the air because of the law of gravity, right?
Right.
Okay. Absolutely. So how do you explain a 200-ton Boeing 747 airplane that's up in the air for 17 hours? The answer is in the sublaws. Because when you look at the law of gravity, there are these sublaws that are things like lift, drag, and thrust. Nobody here really cares about this, but it's important. So, you know, the drag is the resistance of the air, the backward force. The thrust is the power of the airplane's engine. The lift is the upward force, and gravity is the downward force. So when the airplane flies, the sublaws are adjusted to keep it up in the air. So the point of the little scientific diversion is this. Within any universal law, there are many forces at work within that one law that when you leverage them in a certain way can create a different result than the ones we've been conditioned to expect. Conditioned, that's all that stuff, those belief sets that I was just talking about. So this is also the explanation for people who are going, well, how come it works for some people and not me? Or how come it works for me sometimes but not all the time? Because if you're not fully aware of these sublaws and how you're using them, you can't control the outcome. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. I mean, the first thing that we just got a question come in from Carla, and she said, well, maybe that is this the reason why the law of attraction is not working for me, because I'm just using that law and I don't understand or haven't really had access to the sub-laws. Would that
precisely?
Precisely. But now, the other question I saw come in, someone else said, well, she said, how do I use all of these 16 laws at the same time during the day when I can barely just stay focused on what I'm doing.
Stay focused. Absolutely. Great question. And really important question. When I work with people on this, the worst thing that I could do is say, here's the 16, go.
You haven't done that either. So, that's kind of,
But it's the instinct. We all go, oh, my God, well, if those 16 sublaws are going to make this amazing, I'll do them all at once. And then you're spinning plates. No, I have a program that breaks them all down. And literally, I have you, work with one per week, one per month. Everybody's different. So with the different sublaws, and you might find that you're not necessarily going to use all of them all the time. But it's finding that formula.
Okay.
Just like keeping an airplane up in the air, you're finding the formula, the lift, the drag, the thrust, all of that stuff. So, what you do is you work with one, and what you'll find, like I have some people that I've done this with where, there's one of the sublaws is the law of secrecy. Okay, so that one, I have one client who, that was really hard for her.
Oh.
So she actually worked with that one for a full month. One of the other laws, 3 days, she was like, I'm already doing that. So you're probably already using some of them without realizing it. It's one of those things that I ran a sales floor years ago, and I remember this one guy, he came running up and he's like, I did it. I got the sale and it was amazing and it felt great and I know we're really going to help this woman. And I said, great. What did you do to make that happen? And he said, I have no idea. That's all I'm trying to do is break it down so you can go, oh, well, when that worked, and a lot of times, guys, and here's a great, it's this sort of a quick exercise, but anytime you're wanting something where you're wanting to make something work and you feel like you're struggling with something, look at your life and go, okay, and try to make it something that you're not crazy passionate about or feeling desperate about. I don't care if you have to go back to childhood. Find and write a list of, I have a list of these so that anytime I'm struggling, I can go to the list. Because when you're struggling, your brain doesn't tend to want to come up with good memories of like, oh, yeah, I was powerful then. So everybody, when you get off this call, write a list of 10 points in your life, 5 points in your life, 1 point in your life. It does not matter. Guarantee each of you has at least one where you were really powerful and where you see, like, everything seemed to literally fall into place.
God, I love that.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I want you to write it down. I don't care if it's 1 point. In fact, sometimes it's better if it's 1 point because then you go to that. It's sort of like an NLP thing. Bam, you go to that. And I want you to don't just write it down. I want kind of watch yourself go, I don't care if you were 7 years old. Well, why did everything fall into place? Break it down. What was my attitude? What was my expectation? What was my intention? What was my feel? How did I feel? What was I focused on? Here's a great question. Even, because I guarantee you, if you were in a powerful place and everything sort of fell into place, you're going to find that you were focused on solutions, positive outcome, positive expectation, positive intention. Guaranteed. I can promise you that. But what you need to do is look back at your life and anchor yourself in what that felt like for you.
Okay. One of the things I love about that, Kristen, is, we study a lot of people and we begin to think, well, if we could just be like that person, if we could just be like them and have their confidence, but what we must realize is that at some point in our life, many times, we've been that person and that part of us is still there and it's waiting to come forward. Why not connect to it? So that is a great exercise. One of the things I know that you do and what people love on the Wealth Revolution is you're about shifting and changing the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess one of the things I want to ask is what is it that we need to do instantly to start these laws working in our direction? Is it an energy shift of some sort?
Yeah, it's going to sound like, I think sometimes when I say this to my clients, they actually want to reach out through the phone and slap me on the head.
Okay.
Because it sounds really simple, and I get it that it's not necessarily easy, but it really is this simple. And I'm going to say this, please write it down. I will say it twice.
Okay.
You don't have to change how you feel about something. You just have to change how you feel. Don't worry, I'll explain it.
Ooh, okay, my brain's reeling.
You're like, bleh. You what? Don't have to change how you feel about something. You just have to change how you feel.
Oh, okay.
Okay, basically, all this means is that the key to attraction and what you're attracting in any moment is how you feel. So, if you're stressed about money, and you're feeling overwhelmed, and you're really caught up in that emotion and that bad feeling, the best thing you can do is change your state. So, in other words, change how you're feeling. Now, this is where most people get stuck, because what happens? So you say to your friend, oh, I'm just really stressed about money, and you know, I'm freaking out, and I just feel overwhelmed, and I can't, and your friend says, oh, well, don't worry about it, it's always, you know, and tries to, very sweetly, or even if you do this with yourself, change how you feel about the money that you're stressing about right now. Well, the hardest thing to do in that moment, I promise you, will be to change how you feel about money at that moment.
Okay, let me give you an example from a student. We've got Michael from, I won't say his name, Michael. I just got divorced. It was my choice, and now I regret it, and now I'm in misery. How do I move on? How do I move on? Like what I mean, you know, what would, so Michael would do what at that point?
Okay, so Michael, now if I was a friend of Michael's or most people, I would say, okay, well, you know what, let's change how you feel about this. Let's have you feel like it was a good choice, right?
Mm.
And all Michael's going to do, what do our brains do? Because his brain right now is attached to feeling badly about the choice.
Bad choice, yeah.
So his brain is going to defend feeling badly about the choice. Even if I come at him real sweet and I'm like, let's talk about this, let's figure it out, but, you know, I might even be able to get him feeling better about it for a second. There's going to be that part of him that's going, yeah, but, and defending it. So what if I did this, and I'm doing this now through the call, and I said, okay, Michael, that's fine. So I know that you're feeling badly about that choice. I am not minimizing that in any way, shape, or form. I just... Do something for me. I want you to think back to the last time you laughed so hard, tears were coming out of your eyes. Tell me that. Tell me that story. And if Michael was able to talk to me right now, I would have him tell me that story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think would happen by the end of that, Darius, as he's telling me the story of him laughing so hard the tears were coming out of his eyes?
He'd probably feel completely differently about, I mean, his state would be changed.
Right. Now, I didn't change how he feels about the divorce. I changed how he felt, and I didn't even do it. He did it.
Oh my God.
Because that's what matters. Oh, the law of attraction is not based on how you feel about money or cats or TVs or you or me. The law of attraction is based on your level of vibration, your vibrational frequency.
Yeah, you know, Kristen, I got to tell you that one of the things that I've kind of picked up on so often in personal development training is that if you don't have enough money, you've got to go in and you've got to do all this work on your conscious and subconscious to clear all your blocks about money, and you've got to figure out why you have it and go back to your childhood and deal with that and go back to another life. I mean, so you're saying that you don't need to do that. You just need to change how you feel.
Yeah.
At that moment. And that's the
as plug. Often as you can be vibrating in a positive, you know, at a higher level of vibration, you start attracting higher vibrational stuff. It's just how it is. You know, so I could see and here and sometimes this is when other law of attraction experts will get up in arms about me. I say, like, I don't, you know, that's great. I'm happy to sit as your friend and talk about that stuff because it is profound. And you go, oh, my God, that's why I feel that way. But to be honest, if I told you that you're freaking out about money, so you need to go back, figure out what your patterns are, what does your subconscious think, what is your conscious mind telling you, blah, 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 blah. Guess what you're focusing on? The problem. Anytime you're focusing on fixing a problem, you are focused on the problem. What does the law of attraction tell you? You get more of what you focus on.
Yeah.
Please focus on what you do want.
I've got a question. No. Let's say somebody has a challenge with not having enough money come in, and they know they need to reduce like credit card debt or spending. Mm-hmm. Okay, how do they do that and put a concentrated effort on, let's say, reducing debt without focusing on the problem?
Okay, become a solutions expert. So instead of, that's one of my favorite things to say, I am a solutions expert. The universe says yes to me. And you want to go into every day with that intention. Me saying don't focus on the problem does not mean that challenges will not arise.
Okay.
The more you can have them just be fact and not emotion, the more set up you are to get past that challenge. And let me explain what I mean. There have been periods of time where I had less money coming in. Really, truly, that was fact. That was just fact. I had less money then than I do now. What I made real was the emotion that I attached to that, what I made that mean about me. Okay? So the more you can detach from the emotion and just go, okay, fact, I have credit card debt. And then shift it to, what can I do in my life right now to attract, to bring in 10 extra dollars a week? Mm. I know that sounds small, and I know we're all in the mindset of, what can I do to attract $1 million by tomorrow?
Yeah.
But I promise you, when you are that poor, $10 a week, it's a difference. And not only that, it changes your momentum. So literally, fact, I have credit card debt. But then that's what you leave aside. That stays the fact. And instead, you shift your focus to, and here's the difference. A lot of people will get stuck and they'll say, here's what I'm shifting my focus to is, how can I get out of debt? Nope, focused on the problem.
Hmm. I love that we're kind of talking about ways to do this and then challenges. I know you talk about two challenges that people can have, or sort of the top challenges. What are some of those? Because I want people to be able to really get this and avoid some of the roadblocks.
Okay, great. And you know, write this down, because here's what happens with the sub-laws. They allow you to get your inner and outer mind working together, or your conscious and your subconscious. And that's what's essential in mastering all of this. Because when your inner and outer mind are not working together, there are two, as you said, there are two main challenges that pop up. The first one is that you keep changing your order. So this is what I mean. It's the job of your outer mind to give direction to your inner mind. It's the job of your inner mind to make the order happen. So as an example, let's use, Darius, you're in a restaurant, and it's your job to place an order, right? You go to a restaurant, that's your job as the patron. And let's say, and it's the restaurant staff's job as a whole to make sure that that order gets to you in a timely manner and in the way you ordered it, correct?
Correct.
So you're the conscious mind. The whole restaurant staff is your subconscious mind.
Okay.
Let's
so
imagine.
Let me do this again. So I'm the conscious mind, and the restaurant staff is the subconscious mind. Okay, so I place the order, and then I have to worry about how the order is going to come to me, and that's the subconscious.
Yeah, but do you really? Right? Let me ask you this. Yes, exactly. When you go to a restaurant and you place an order, do you sit there then and go, how are they going to do that? How is that cook making my steak medium rare?
No.
How are they going to make it taste so good? How are they going to... No, you don't do that. You place your order.
Mm-hmm.
And then you assume, you have positive expectation that your order is going to come to you. Occasionally, they come back and they say, I'm sorry, sir, we're out of the fish. And you then can say, I'm going somewhere else because I really wanted a steak, or I really wanted fish. Or you can say, oh, I think I'll have the steak. You make another choice. Your expectation in going there was probably the whole experience of it. It's how you wanted to feel. You wanted to feel great, you know, whatever it is, the reason that we all go out for whatever reason, okay? Now, let's imagine this. You go in, you sit down, you have a waiter comes over. Yes, sir, can I take your order? You say, yes, I'll have the lobster.
Okay.
This is great. And he heads back. He gets about 5 steps toward the kitchen. You go, oh, wait. I just saw a plate go by. What is that? And he says, oh, that's the chicken. I'll have the chicken. Okay. He goes. The door swings open into the kitchen. You jump up. You grab the hostess, and you're like, can you go stop him? Because I promised my wife I was going to be healthy. Can you just tell him I want a salad? You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
If we keep changing our order, we don't let our subconscious mind ever get to work.
Mm.
So it's like all these partially filled orders everywhere. And the other thing, I love that you interjected that one thing, because that had me come up with that whole other part of, you don't sit there and then worry how they're all going to put it together.
Right. Yeah, I just want to say, I mean, one of my favorite stories, and I'll make this really quick, is a story about a scientist that was in World War II concentration camp in Germany, and he saw death all around him. I mean, people were dying and being executed, and he had no idea how he was going to get out of the camp. The only thing he would do is he would imagine himself every night, every morning, driving a car down Wilshire Boulevard. And the most amazing thing was that he actually had met a girl before the war, and he had met her in a bar in just like one split instant, met this woman, had a drink with her, and that was it. But he was in love. And then he got captured. And he would imagine himself driving this car while in this prison camp with death and the stench of dying all around him, with this girl in the car down Wilshire Boulevard. Now, this guy was in a Russian concentration camp, okay, freezing temperatures. Well, it's the story of Dr. Von Blench-Schmidt, and it's a true story. At the end of the whole scenario, he had an impulse, an intuition to step out of line in one moment, and he did. And he walked out of the prison camp, and nobody saw him. His subconscious mind feeded to him that instinct to do that. He ended up going all the way to Geneva, got invited to go to Los Angeles, ended up driving his car down Wilshire Boulevard, that same road. And I get emotional when I say this because it lets me know there's something greater than all of us. He ended up marrying that woman that he met in that bar before the war.
That's amazing.
And I just think, mind-blowing. Okay, sorry about that.
But it's true, that's the stuff that's available to us when we get out of the way.
Yeah, if he would have tried to figure out how to do it, he would most certainly have been killed. It's just he had to be so open that he knew that he felt that impulse and intuition and moved at that second where nobody would be looking, where the gate would be open, because he had connected to that power. And that is just incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Anyways.
It's a great story. and also proof of we really are that powerful, so just be specific about what you – make sure you want what you're picturing. That's one thing I would say. The second thing you asked about, you know, where are the big struggles? I would say a big part of that is opening up. You know, this stuff is new, and when you start to tap into the power of this stuff, it can get really exciting, and it becomes easy to start to want to talk about it and bring it up to people. And unfortunately, sometimes if people are not as open to it, they'll slap it down. Let me give you a bit of an example. They're doing it, by the way, anybody typically, they're doing it out of love and protection for you.
Mm.
But in doing that, they're actually keeping you where you are. So you just need to be mindful of releasing the power of your intention and opening it up to sabotage. And just it's sort of like being careful of a little, if you had like a, you know, if you found an animal and were going to release it back into the wild, you would take really good care about it, care of it until you did that. So, you know, it's similar to like, let's say you bought a new house and you wanted to plant a beautiful rose bush in your back garden, and you could picture just sitting there and, you know, the smell and the beauty and all of that, and you bring your friend over who's an expert gardener, and you tell, and she goes, oh, well, it's too rocky here, and it's supposed to be really cold, so the rose bush isn't going to make it.
Hmm.
To her, that's fact. To her, she's trying to save you from trouble. But she's just taken all of the energy and positive expectation out of your intention. So I'm not saying don't tell people about things, but be mindful of it. Be careful with yourself, not distrustful. That's not what I'm saying, and that's why I said people are coming from a place of love and trying to protect you from whatever their belief sets are. But just be, let something grow a bit before you release it into the wild.
I'll never forget the story of, I'll just say this, I originally was a consultant for a big five consulting firm, and I decided, I didn't want to work in the corporate sector and wanted to be doing things and teaching and things. This was over 10 years ago. And I remember I told my boss when I left the job, he spent like 30 minutes telling me why I would fail. And even certain members of my family were just like, why are you going to do that? What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? You shouldn't do it. And it's incredible because that's exactly what happened. And
yeah.
They love me, but, they do the same thing. Is that the law of secrecy?
That's part of the law of secrecy. Now, there's also another part of that law, which
okay.
is also that when you keep something
mm-hmm.
in, when it's a powerful positive intention that you keep in, you actually, it's like putting a cork on a bottle and shaking it up. So you generate, there's a lot of power that gets generated from that. So if you pop that cork off too soon, gone.
Yeah. I've always felt that. And instinctively, when I have an idea, I always hold it in. And it's kind
mm-hmm.
of like, I remember there was an interview with Madonna, and this is just kind of stuck with me when I was a kid. It's the first time I ever heard this. It always gives me chills. She would say that, like, when she was in high school, she was just kind of like everybody else. But she had, like, a secret, and she knew that she was going to be very successful.
Mm-hmm.
She never told anybody. She knew what she wanted. She would dream about it. She kept it. She said, I kept it in my back pocket secret. And every day I felt like I was about to explode because I had this secret.
And that's the law of secrecy. So there's two sides
to
it.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's exactly what it is that she was utilizing that law. It's almost like you give the command to your subconscious, and then by not releasing any of the energy of it, it actually causes it makes it have to, it works that much harder to make it come to fruition. Now, you know when it's time to let it out, and typically that's when it's happening. So it's not a matter of, like I said, this is not coming from a place of distrust, of, ooh, don't trust people with it. No, it's not that at all. It's protection, and it's also really, because it infuses it with this massive energy.